Today's Shin Daf Yomi is the Gemara in the Dorim Daf Lamed Zayin. We are learning today Le'ilu Nishmas, Jason Botnick, Matisyo Yaakov, Ben Shmaryo, Vigitul Rivka. All the Shamas that we learn from Shev and Aliyah from our learning. We are picking up in the Gemara about seven lines from the top, Lamed Zayin and Aleph, trying to explain a statement in our Mishnah that said that a person who has Isser to get Hanoah from someone else is nevertheless allowed to go and learn certain things from them, such as Chumash, Mikra, but is not allowed to learn from them Halachos, Drashos, Viagodos. So the question is, why? What is the difference between teaching somebody Mikra, which even though they're not allowed to get Hanoah from you, you can go and teach them, versus Halachos, Drashos, and Agodos, which you're not allowed to go and teach them? Now, can't be because they're getting Hanoah from the learning, because and therefore there is no Issa. The person who's teaching is getting Talmud Torah, and therefore the person who's receiving it isn't called getting Hanah from that person. And therefore should not be any difference between whether you're teaching Mikra or you're teaching Halachos, Drashos, Yagadus. So therefore, we came up yesterday, we had said this last statement yesterday, the opinions of Rav and Yev Yochanan, why there should be a difference, why teaching Mikra is allowed, but the others are not. And Rav had given us the answer. Rav Amar Schar Shimur. When a Rebbe teaches young boys, so he is being paid to babysit for them. Schar Shimur. And therefore, in our case where Reuven has made it neder that Shimon can't get an off from him, and if Reuven teaches Shimon's child, his young boy, Mikra, so then in that situation, if he were to forego the payment, so then he would be giving Hanoah to Shimon in that he didn't have to pay him this babysitter's fee. And therefore, he is allowed to go and take money in that situation, because otherwise he would be giving Hanoah to Shimon, which is also for Shimon to receive. And this Schar Shimur, the Ran tells us, is in Dibra Masl Rabba Mar Schar Shimur, Dimistoma Lom De Mikra Ketanim Heim. The people who are being taught Chumash are usually young children. In kindergarten, first grade, second grade, you learn Chumash. Utsrichim Shimur, and they need babysitting. Umishumhochi, Nihi, the Agar Limud Asur, as we had pointed out in yesterday's Shia, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe for free, Re, Limadati Eschem Chukim Mishpatim Kasher Tzivan Yashem, Ma'ani Bechinam, Apatem Nami Bechinam, just like Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to pay tuition, so too, he wasn't allowed to charge people for teaching them Chumash, and that applies to everything. That applies to Mikra, as well as Drashos, and halachos and agados, so it applies to everything. So too, you can charge, but for chumash, since you're teaching young children, so you're really charging not for the teaching them of the chumash, schar shimur, and that is shari. You're not charging them for teaching them chumash, you're charging for the babysitting. And that's why you're allowed to charge for teaching chumash, because this is only taught to young children. The older children don't require such washing. As you can see in the Rosh, he says that Nodlin Alanarm Kitanim Halomdim Mikra Lushamram, to watch them. Shalo Yelchu Berchovus Abishukin, so they shouldn't go run away and go and play out in the streets and in the marketplaces, the Yaziku, and they'll either cause damage to themselves or to others. And therefore, the Yechanchu Ludvarim Ram, and they'll also learn terrible things if they're out there on the streets instead of being in a class. So therefore, that's what you're paying for Chumash, which is dealing with young children, and that's why it's allowed. And therefore, as the Mefarish points out, Adibra Maskel Bekotun, Mishum Duka Mahani Le Shemeniach Lo Seschar. If Shimon doesn't pay Reuven, so then he would be getting Hanoah from Reuven, and therefore he must pay Reuven. And therefore, for teaching Chumash, Rav explains why that is permissible. Now, Rav Yochanan gives us a different reason. Rav Yochanan Amar Schar Pisuk Tamim. This is dealing with teaching the trup. As the Ran says, Rav Yochanan Amar Schar Pisuk Tamim, Shemalamdim Hem Tamim. They're teaching them the trup. The lav midaraisa ninu. According to the opinion of Rav Yochanan, trup is not daraisa, and therefore hilkach lo havu bichlal chukum mishpatim. This isn't included in the directive that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Ma'ani bechinam, afatem nami bechinam. Just like I was taught for free, I have to teach you for free. But that's only dvarim daraisa. That would include mikra, that is chumash, but not mikra, that is the trup. So therefore, the trup is allowed to be paid for, and normally, Reuven would be charging, teaching Shimon for the trup. And if Reuven doesn't charge Shimon, Shimon would be benefiting from Reuven, which is not allowed based upon the neder that Reuven had made, that Shimon is not allowed to get Hanoah from him. And therefore, for teaching the trup, Reuven would have to be paid, or else he would be giving benefit to Shimon, which is not allowed. So those are the two terutzim. We said this yesterday. Now we went into a little bit more detail. Rav and Rav Yochanan are explaining our Mishnah. Gemara is going to question each of these views respectively. The Mishnah starts off by questioning Rav's view about Schar Shimur. Tanan, lo yilamdenu mikra. Abisha said, you're not allowed to go and teach mikra without getting paid, because if you don't get paid, you're giving him anah. But the others, you are allowed to go and teach without getting paid, because it's usher to go and pay somebody to teach you. Again, ma'ani b'chinam avatem nami b'chinam. So, bishlama, according to Rav Yochanan, Uman the Omar Skar Pisuk Tamim, that the reason why you have to pay for the Chumash is because you're not paying for the teaching of the Chumash, you're paying for the trap. So in this situation, Hainu Delo Yilam Denu. That's why you're not allowed to teach him the trap unless you get paid. And therefore, if you don't pay him, you'd be giving him a na, and that's why you must pay him. El Uman the Omar Skar Shimur, Ella, according to Rav, who says that the reason that the Rebbe's allowed to teach young boys is because of the Schar Shimur, the babysitting type fee that we talked about. Laman diyama Schar Shimur. So Gadol Bar Shimur, who are adults or older children requiring babysitting? So that can't be the reason why Reuven would be prohibited to teach the children of Shimon Mikra, because if they're Gedolim, so then there is no payment that would be required because they don't require Shimur. So why did our Mishnah say that you're not allowed to have the person teach Reuven, teach to Shimon's sons Mikra, because there would be a Hanah that he's getting? There is no Hanah, there is no Schar Shimur in older children, so it would only be younger children. So Gemara says, Yataka right, Bikatum Tani. Our Mishnah that says that Reuven can't teach the sons of Shimon Mikra is talking about only younger children, where there is a Schar Shimur according to Rav. But older children, Taka, he would be allowed to, because he's not allowed to accept payment, because Mani Bechinam Atkatem Nami Bechinam, and therefore, he's not allowed to accept payment. So therefore, the teaching of the Torah itself, teaching of Mikra itself, doesn't go against any Hanor Neder, because Mitzvah Sladli and others Litnu, and he's just learning Torah. And therefore, it's only talking about a katan. Moore says, wait a second, if you're talking about a katan, then the second part of the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. Even katan, if we're dealing only with young children of Shimon, that's who you're not allowed to teach without getting paid. So, ema seifa, then keep on reading. Avo melamed es banov mikra. But he would be allowed to go and teach banov mikra. How could Shimon's son have children if Shimon's son is a katan? Avo melamed es banov mikra, katan bar banim hu? Can this child have children? So that can't be what it's talking about, because it says, okay, you can't teach the child, but you can teach the grandchild. How could the child have children if he's a katan? So Moshe says, you're right. Chisurim echzor hachitoni. There are parts missing over here in the Mishnah, and this is the way you have to understand the Mishnah. Lo yilamdenu mikra. You're not allowed to go and teach Shimon's son mikra, because, again, there's a babysitting fee, v'katan, and therefore, the babysitting fee is waived. So in this situation, Reuven would then be giving hanah to Shimon. That's why you can't teach him mikra for free. However, im hayah gadol, if Shimon's son was a gadol, then you would be allowed to go and teach him. Melamdo lo uv levonav mikra. You would be able to teach him because there's no babysitting fee. And even his son, you'd be able to go and teach. Now, how come you're teaching his grandson? Because the grandson of Shimon, there's also a babysitting fee involved. So how come that's not called getting Hanah? So the answer is, if you waive that fee, so how come that's allowed? So the Ran explains, in Dibra Maskel, Vimoyo Godo, so he tells us, the low to teach the son himself, the low boy Shimon, that's clear, that's obvious that you can teach the son. But Lebanav, the grandson, Nami, even though the grandson requires babysitting, lo mitzar tve mizones bono v'espinoso. That's no different than you'd be allowed to go, and when you have an Isra Hanah on Shimon, you'd be allowed to go and support his sons or his daughters. So that, we said, is allowed, because that's not a direct Hanah to Shimon. And therefore, even though Shimon is getting an indirect benefit, that is allowed. So therefore, that's the way you have to understand the Mishnah. So Rav is okay. Try again. Shlag of Rav. Meisvei. We learn from the following braisa. Tinokos lo korin b'tchila b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to go teach young boys new material on Shabbos, because, as the Ran points out, mashal lo korin mimeim, what they haven't read previously, because mishum, as the Rosh says, the osur lito schar b'Shabbos, because you're going to get paid for teaching them new material, and you're not allowed to go take money for teaching them new material on Shabbos. However, Eloshonin, you can repeat Verishon. You can even repeat the first time you're chazering it over with them. That's not a problem. As the Ran says in Dibra Masal Eloshon Verishon, Im Koru Pam Rishona, Lifnei HaShabbos, if they learned it before Shabbos at least one time, so then Shonen Osobi Shabbos, no problem in the Rebbe teaching it to them on Shabbos. Afal Bishi Chazara Rishon, even though it's the first time that the Chazmin, and certainly the second, third, and fourth time that the Chazmin, that's allowed. Now, the Ran explains why are you allowed to go and be Shonen? Why can you repeat the Chazara on Shabbos? Avol Shonen, Shikfar Yodu Bipam Rishona Pisukatanim. According to Rav Yochanan, the reason why we'll see you're allowed to do this is because they already know the Tam. V'yashar Halimut Enu Notu Schar. And for other teaching, you're not getting Schar. So now let's go back inside the Gemara and see the Kasha on Rav. So Bishlomo Leman Diomer Schar Pisukatanim. According to Rav Yochanan, there is no problem over here because they already know the Trop. They were paid for teaching the Trop on Thursday, on Friday, and now when they're Chazrig on Shabbos, they're not getting paid for that. And there's no Schar Shabbos problem. And therefore, Hainu, the Ein Korn Betchila B'Shabbos, but Avol Shonim Berishon. They're allowed to go and Chazrid on Shabbos. They can't teach the new stuff on Shabbos because that would be Schar Shabbos. Getting paid for teaching on Shabbos, that's not allowed. However, if you're not getting paid for it because it's just Chazara, so then you'd be allowed to do it on Shabbos. So Rav Yochanan is perfectly fine with this Brisa. However, according to Rav, who says it's Schar Shimur, El Man Diomar Schar Shimur, according to Rav, it's a babysitting fee, so then Amai Ein Korin B'Tchila B'Shabbos, V'Amai Shonim B'Rishon. Then it doesn't make any sense. The halacha should be the same, whether you're teaching it for the first time or you're teaching it as Chazara. As the Rosh says, in Dibra Maskel, El Laman Di Omar, he says, Kolomar, my Ika bin Pam Rishon Lushnia. Why should there be any difference? Oh, the first time you can't teach it on Shabbos, but the second time you can. In both of them, there's a babysitting fee. So either if they're Ketanim and there is a babysitting fee, it shouldn't be allowed. And if they're Gedolim and there's no babysitting fee, then it should be allowed. You're getting paid over here for the babysitting. It has nothing to do with what you're teaching them. So there's no difference, according to Rab, between the first time and Chazara. In both situations, there's either a babysitting fee or there's not a babysitting fee. So both of them should have the same din. That's the question on Rab. So Rab would respond and says, what, I'm the only one who has a problem with this braisa? Well, Temech, according to Rav Yochanan, says it's Schar Pisuk Tamim. He also has a problem. Schar Pisuk Bishabbos Miyasur. How come you're telling me, oh, the first time when you're teaching it, there's Schar Shabbos, and you're not allowed to go take Schar Shabbos, and when it's Chazara, there's no Schar Shabbos. He says, that's not true. He says, Schar Pisuk B'Shabbos Miyosur, there wouldn't be an Issa to go for the Rebbe to teach the child new material on Shabbos, because Havlahi, he's not coming just one time, Shabbos afternoon, he comes to teach, that's the only time he comes. No, he teaches him on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos, he's the Rebbe. He's teaching him every day. And therefore, the payment that he's getting is a weekly payment, a monthly payment, a yearly payment, and there's something called Havlah. Havlah means it's swallowed up. In other words, the payment for the working on Shabbos is swallowed up. This is the heter for a chazan, a rebbe, a bal kore, a person working in catering to go and get paid for doing work on Shabbos. You're not allowed to work on Shabbos and get paid for it. As long as you're not doing an issa, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, but now you get paid for working on Shabbos. So what's the heter to go pay the Baal Kore for laning on Shabbos, for the chazan, for davening musaf on Shabbos? So the answer is because it takes some time to prepare, and you're paying them for the entire job, which includes the preparation. A babysitter who's working on Friday night, you really shouldn't pay her just for the Friday night. You should pay her for, you know, two or three babysittings if possible. Or there's preparation that she has to do for the babysitting. And just like the teacher has preparations that he has to do. So even if they're only teaching on Shabbos. So there are havlah ways to get around the Schar Shabbos issue. So therefore, Rav says, Rav Yochanan has the same problem as I do. You're not really getting paid for that first time teaching on Shabbos. It's a havlah. You're getting paid for all the time that you teach him. And the havlah, mishur shari, and that's allowed. The Tanya, because we learned in the following brisa, hasocher es hapoel. If you go and hire somebody, lishmor es hatinok. Now, this lishmor es hatinok is very interesting. In the Rani says, shoyu magadlin dibra matzah lishmor es hatinok, shoyu magadlin tinokos bechatzeros habinuyos al gabi hasela. This is dealing with making sure we have so many stringencies. We mentioned this in the past by the Paraduma. There's one leniency that we do by the Paraduma that we're metami him with tumas sheretz, according to someone, not metami him ourselves, but if he is Matame, but the simple understanding is that we're actually Matame, the one who's doing the Paraduma with Sheretz, because we hold that if he goes to the mikvah and he's a Tuyom, he's allowed to do the work of the Paraduma. And the Tzdukim disagreed with that din. So to show them how wrong they are, we are metani him with the sheretz, have him go to the mikveh, and then it's a tuyom, he does the avodah. But since there was this leniency that we took effect for the paraduma preparation, so therefore there are people who say, the paraduma is not so strict. So the rabbis went bent over backwards and made us do many things in regard to the paraduma in a way that is lifnei mishuras hadin, such as they would make sure that the children who go filled up the water from the spring that they would bring to go and make the ashes of the paraduma mixed with the water was 100% that they couldn't have any type of tumah. So they would have these women give birth in a rocky terrain, so there was no chance that there would be tumas at home, no chance that there's a mace buried somewhere over there, and they would raise these boys on this rocky cellar, and somebody had to watch them. And they raise them, they make kever at the home, the Ran says, Kadeshi Malu Mayim in Hamayim, so that when they go fill up the water for the Paraduma ashes to be put it with the water, so they would go get it from the spring, so Lekadesh Efer HaPara, they wouldn't be Tomei, they aren't old enough to have had a carry discharge, and there was no chance of them being Tomei with Tumas to home. So therefore, they would pay people to watch these children. So if you go and hire somebody to be the Paul Lishmor Satinuk, or Lishmor Sapora, or as the Ran says, to make sure that everything is done properly with the Parah Aduma, with the ashes, and Lishmor Esazroim, or in a similar situation, the Ran says, Litzorech Omer, they would need for the Korban Omer to make sure that some of the barley that was being grown would not be harvested, and that it would be available for the Korban Omer, so they have people go and watch, here, this place over here has barley, we're going to use this barley, so they have to pay people to watch it, that nobody harvested it and took it. And therefore, the people that would be getting paid for this would be working on Shabbos, but they'd also be working during the week. So, ein nos den los schar Shabbos. Now, I pay them a day wage for Shabbos' work, because that would be schar Shabbos. Therefore, what do you do? Ein nos den los schar Shabbos. So, what choice do you have? Somebody has to watch the children. Somebody has to watch the ashes. Somebody has to go and watch these Zeroyim, even on Shabbos. So, lefikach, and we turn to Laman Zayin on the days, what they did was, im avdu, so first off, the din is that since you're not allowed to pay him for Shabbos, so when they're working on Shabbos, they're not getting paid. And therefore, they're no longer in the status of a Shomer Socha, they're in the status of a Shomer Chinam. So if something were to happen, and whatever they were watching, let's say the Parah, that they were making sure wouldn't do any work on it, or that nothing would happen to it, so they could use it for the ashes of the Parah Aduma. So if something did happen to it, and this valuable Parah Aduma now is worth nothing because it can't be used as Parah Aduma, or the Zroim were in fact damaged, they weren't watching it carefully, somebody picked it, somebody harvested, an animal came, and they weren't watching it. So as long as they weren't negligent, so they wouldn't be chayiv, because a shomer chinam was only chayiv for pshia. He's only chayiv if he was negligent. So if he fell asleep and then it was stolen, so then that would be his fault. But if he didn't fall asleep, but gneva v'aveida occurred, so then he would be potter because he's a shomer chinam and not a shomer socher. Whereas on a weekday, since he's a shomer socher, he would be chayiv for gneva v'aveida. The Imhaya Sachir Shabbos, however, if they paid him a weekly salary, or Schir Chodesh, or a monthly salary, or Schir Shana, or an annual salary, or Schir Shavua, they paid him every Shemitah, he would be paid for the Shemitah, he was hired for the Shemitah, so then, no sin lo Schar Shabbos, then he is allowed to get paid for the work that is on Shabbos because of this din of Havlah. And therefore, Lefikach Im Abdu, therefore, if on Shabbos, something happened to a Gneva of Yaveda that he should have prevented as a Shomer Socher, so then Chayev Biachrius, he would in fact be Chayev. So Rav is telling us, what are you telling me? I only have a problem with my Pshat of Schar Shimur, in that there shouldn't be any difference between teaching the first time and teaching the second time if it's just a Schar Shimur. You have the same problem, Rav Yochanan, because there isn't the problem over here of Schar Shabbos. So therefore, why should the first time when you're teaching in the Trup, which requires getting paid, versus the second time, it shouldn't be a problem with the first time getting paid because there's no issa over here of havlah. So therefore, why should there be a difference between teaching the first time and teaching chazara? So you have the same problem that I do. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo gabi Shabbos, hainu taimo dein korim betchilo. So then, the real answer, and this applies to both Rav and Rav Yochanan, why you can't teach the new stuff for the first time on Shabbos, but you can chazar, is mishum the yifnu avoson, the nuke, because if you allow the child to learn new stuff on Shabbos for the first time, it's going to fashter, it's going to ruin the mitzvah of onik Shabbos. Now, what does this exactly mean, and how does this work? So the Ran explains in Dibra Maslow the Yifnu, and he says, Sha'avos hatinokos, the father of these children that are learning the stuff for the first time, ponin lemitzvah Shabbos, they're looking forward to the mitzvah of onik Shabbos to spend time with the family. Umishtashin imatinokos, and they play with their children on Shabbos. And if the child is learning new stuff, the father is not going to want to go and disturb the child, because if it's new stuff and he doesn't learn it, it's going to be hard for him to catch up. So therefore, the father's onik Shabbos of playing with his children is going to be shtered if he goes and learns new stuff on Shabbos. If it's Chazara, so the father won't be so quick to not want to break up the Chazara Shia and go and play with his child. Because, okay, it's Chazara, we can do the Chazara another time. But if it's learning new stuff, he won't be able to do it another time. He's going to miss out on it. So therefore, that's the reason. And this is true whether you hold like Rav or whether you hold like Rav Yochanan. It's the fact that the father, according to the Ran, is going to have a staring of his own Shabbos. He's going to lose his own Shabbos because he's not going to want to break up new learning. But old learning, Chazara, he'd be willing to break up. Therefore, there's a lack of own Shabbos with new learning that could occur for the father, and not by old learning, by Chazara. And therefore, that's the reason, Bein L'Rav, Bein L'Rav Yochanan. Beautiful. The Rosh, in the Ramaslo, the Yifnun, has a slightly different answer. He says, Im hayu korin b'tchila, if you're teaching the children for the first time new material, hayu chomalem, it's tough for them. V'hayu tzrichim laharich, they're going to have to spend more time in learning. Their avos and their fathers mitzapim liso, they want to eat. The fathers are waiting to start the lunch meal, and the kid's still learning. Ashiavo, until the kid comes and finishes the learning, it's a longer learning if it's new material. Umavatan onik Shabbos. And that way, the father is not getting his onik Shabbos of eating the Shabbos meal. However, avomashikaru esmo, if it's the second time that they're learning it, they're chazering it. Shonim bo hayom, they're now learning it the second time. Kenan tzrichim laharich bo, they're not going to have to go and spend so much time doing it, and therefore lunch won't be delayed, and the onik Shabbos will still be present. So that's the answer for Rav and for Rav Yochanan. That's teretz number one. Another teretz, which applies to both Rav and Rav Yochanan, mishum divshabasa ochlin vishosin. On Shabbos, you don't learn new material because of the extra food that they have on Shabbos, the extra drink that they have on Shabbos, v'yakir aleon alma. The word v'yakir means it's precious or it's heavy. Something that's yakir is kaved, as the Mefarish says in the Ramas of v'yakir. He says, shekaved aleon lomod. It's hard for them to learn when they have all this food, this special food inside of them. B'nei Michael, the special food for Shabbos. And that's why we don't teach a new material on Shabbos, because it's very difficult for them to learn new material on Shabbos. As Duran says as well, Diber Mas V'yakir, Alatinokos, he was talking about the young children. So since they're going to eat more than they eat on a regular weekday, Evoreim Kvedim, their limbs are heavy, Alein. And they'll have more difficulty learning in a satiated state, much more so than they are in a weekday, and therefore, that's why we don't teach them new stuff on Shabbos. But Chazara, that they can do even if they're having more food than usual. Now, where do we see this idea that a person will have a little bit more difficulty with eating the better food? So, Kedamar Shmuel, Shmuel has taught us. Shmuel's a doctor, and as well as being the great Amor Shmuel, who's also a doctor. And he said, Shinoi Vesis, when you change around the normal way that you do things, Tchilas Choli Meyayim, that's going to cause stomach problems. In other words, if a person is used to eating a certain amount of food, and then you change it, so that's going to be problematic for him initially. And Rachmona Lutzlan, we saw this in the Holocaust, that when people in Nebuchadnezzar were so starved by the vicious Rushoyim, the Nazis, Yimach Shemom Zichron, so the people in the concentration camps were starved. They were skin and bones. And then when Baruch Hashem, the Allies came and freed them from the concentration camps, and they gave them chocolate, they gave them food, they saw how starving they were, so they had tremendous problems from giving that, suddenly given a sufficient amount of food, a rich food, so this was a terrible thing for them, actually. It wasn't good. You had to go slowly to build up, again, their ability to eat. So that's what Shmuel's telling us. Shinui v'eses t'chilas cholim yayim, that when you change around the normal eating patterns, that's going to cause stomach problems. So that's the idea, that both Rav and Shmuel say that you can't teach the new things to the children because they're eating much more than usual, and it's going to be more difficult for them to sit and learn with learning hard on new things. Therefore, we don't teach them new things on Shabbos for that reason, but it has nothing to do with the either Schar Shimur or Schar Pisuk Tamim. Okay, now the Gemara says, okay, we couldn't slug up Rav, let's see if we can slug up Rav Yochanan. Ulamandi Amar Schar Pisuk Tamim, according to Rav Yochanan, says that the reason why Reuven is not allowed to teach Shimon's children Chumash, because there's an Isser Hanor for him to give Shimon Hanor, there was a Neder, and if he doesn't get paid for that, there's going to be a problem of him giving Hanoah to Shimon. And he says the reason that you get paid for that is because you're teaching them the trap. So, my time, lo amar schar Shimon. Why didn't he say schar Shimon, the babysitting? That seems like a very good reason. So, when he says, kesavar, bonos miko bayon Shimon, because Rabbi Yochanan says a very interesting answer. He says, our Mishnah doesn't differentiate between boy children and girl children. It says that Shimon is not allowed to get Hanoah from Reuven, and therefore if he doesn't pay him for the teaching of Chumash to his children, boys or girls, then he's going to be over this Isser Hanoah. And therefore, he's not allowed to have Reuven teach his boys or girls, the young children, Chumash without getting paid. So therefore, the Gemara says, according to Rav Yochanan, the reason why he didn't want to say Schar Shimur is because girls don't need watching. Bonos Miko Bayon Shimur. As the Ran says, at the end of the Ramaskul Gadol, all the way at the end of it, he says, Avo Bonos, Aviluktanos, girls, even young girls, Lo Bo Shimur, Shein Darkun Lotzis Lachos. Young girls don't run outside. And this is pointed out as well in the Mefarish, in the Ramaskul Bonos. He says, they don't need, young girls don't need watching. Miboyin and Shimur. Inu lav urchayu lemefach abroi. It's not their natural tendency to run outside into the streets and to go into the marketplaces and do all sorts of terrible things and damage. As we learned the famous pasuk in Tehillim, kol kvudo basmelech penima. And therefore, beleko leukmo boschar shimur. And therefore, the Mefarish explains, Rav Yochanan, the reason why he doesn't want to hold like Rav is because he says our Mishnah doesn't differentiate between teaching young boys or young girls Chumash, and therefore there is no Schar Shimur involved for young girls, and there shouldn't be a reason then that Reuven can't teach the daughters of Shimon, the young daughters of Shimon, Chumash, because there's no Hanah, because you don't pay them Schar Shimur. Or if it's Pisuk Tamim, if you're teaching them Trop, and that is something that you normally are allowed to pay for, and Reuven doesn't accept payment from Shimon, so then there would be a breaking of the neder that Shimon can't get Hanoah from Reuven, and that's why this applies to both boys and girls, Pisuk Tamim. That's why Rav Yochanan prefers his answer. No, why doesn't Rav say like Rav Yochanan? What was Rav going and saying? It's only Schar Shimur, it's the babysitting fee, and not Pisuk Tamim. Why didn't he like Rav Yochanan's answer, Pisuk Tamim? According to Rav, my time will Omar Schar Pisuk Tamim. Why didn't he say like Rav Yochanan? So the answer is Kesavar. Rav holds. Now the word Schar is in parentheses, but it's correct either way. Schar Pisuk Tamim Doraisu. Rav holds that this is also included in Mani Bechinam, Afatem Nami Bechinam. This is also included. You're not allowed to teach any Torah for a fee because, just like Moshe Rabbeinu learned it for free, so he has to teach it for free. So you're not allowed to charge people to teach them Chumash. And included in this Chumash is not just the taich of the words, but it's also the Pisuk Tamim. So Rav holds it, that's a din d'oraisa. So therefore, there is no problem with teaching the Tamim, and that's why Rav had to say Schar Shimur. Now, where do we see that the Pisuk Tamim is a din d'oraisa? The Amar Rav, Ika, Bar Oven. Amar Rav Hananel, Amar Rav. Rav Ika Bar Oven said in the name of Rav Hananel, said in the name of Rav. My, what does the pasuk mean? This is a pasuk from Nehemiah. The full pasuk is Vayikru b'sefer b'toras halokim miforosh v'som sechel v'yavinu b'mikra. So that's the full pasuk. Now, what does this mean? So in this pasuk from Nehemiah, Ezra is speaking to Klai Yisrael and Rosh Hashanah as they're coming back to Yerushalayim, and he's telling them Vayikru b'sefer, it should be b'toras halokim. You'll read this scroll, God's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. This is a reference to Mikra. I'm going to teach you Chumash. Miforosh, what does that mean? The next word in the pasuk, that's a reference to Targum. Zeh Targum, that's Targum Onkelos. And he was teaching them that as well. V'som Secha, what does that mean? Elu HaPsukim, these are how to break up the Psukim in the Torah. The Torah doesn't have dots. The Torah doesn't have punctuation. So Ezra taught them where one pasuk ends and the next pasuk starts. As the Ran explains in Ibrahim Maskel Vesom Sechel, he says, Nekudos Hamafsikos bin Pasuk Lepasuk. This is the period or the colon that you have at the end of one Pasuk going to the next Pasuk. The Karlu Som Sechel, why is it called that? Shayideim Adam Nevin Hamikwa. This allows you to understand the words because it's not a run on sentence. You're breaking it up. Kefi Tnuas Hatamin. As the trop teaches us to break up certain words in certain ways based upon the trop. And Vayavinu Mikra, that's further an understanding over here that pisuk tam. This is teaching us the trop. Something is an esnachta, you make a stop. It's all kep karton. It's a little bit of a stop. So it teaches you what words stop and what words are continuing in a sentence, and therefore this helps you understand everything. And here you see that this was the arise of Avinu Mikra is a reference to pisuk tam. Others disagree. V'yamri la el hamesoras. These are the various mesoras that we have, as the Ran says, mashenimsa b'mesora, what was handed down as a tradition in terms of how words are written, how words are pronounced, etc. Okay, so therefore you see, according to Rav, he held this pasuk in Nehemiah, where Ezra was teaching Klal Yisrael Torah when they returned from the Golus Babel. So this shows you that pisuk tamim is also a din daraisa. Amar Yitzhak, Mikra Sofrim, the actual reading that the Sofrim is the name for the Chachamim, they counted up many things. So Arba Avos Nezikin, the 39 Malachos and Shabbos, so the Chachamim was Sofrim, they counted. So they're often referred to as Sofrim. So the teaching of the Sofrim and how to read things, Mikra Sofrim, the proper way to pronounce certain words, as the Ran says in Dibra Maschel, Amar Rav Yitzchok Mikra Sofrim, Hakriya Shemasru Lo HaRishonim Shniku Sofrim. The early rabbis were known as the Sofrim, and they passed on how to properly pronounce certain words. Then the Itur Sofrim, the Ran says that's Tevos Yeseros, extra words, Shenichnasu Liyafos Haloshon, that are sometimes added in to beautify the language over here. The Nikros Iter, they're called an Iter, Fishem Ma'atrinus Haloshon, they crown, they make it more beautiful. So they would explain why certain things were in the Torah. Vikarion Velo Ksivan, Uksivan Velo Karion, why things are sometimes pronounced, they're read, Vikarion Velo Ksivan, but they're not written down, and vice versa. Sometimes they're written down, but they're not read. All of these from Yitzchak said are halacha lemoshe misinai. These are all things that are daraisa, halacha lemoshe misinai. Now, what are examples of each one? Mikra, Sofrim, one example of the proper way to read things. So that's, we read the word sometimes eretz, and sometimes we read it aretz. And that's what the Bach adds over here. He says the first time we say eretz, and sometimes we say aretz, and sometimes we say shamayim, and sometimes we say shomayim, and sometimes we say mitzrayim, and sometimes we say mitzrayim. So that's to know when you pronounce the word in a certain way. Often when it's at the end of the word becomes, when you have an esnachta or a sof pasuk, so the word has a komatz there, so it would be mitzrayim instead of mitzrayim. It would be aretz instead of eretz, etc. What is iter sofrim? So these are words that are seemingly extra. It says, achar tavor, achar telech, achar teosef. So, kidmu sharim, achar noginim. So in each of these situations, the word achar really wasn't necessary. You could have had a different word. Instead of saying, achar tavor, you could have said, visavoru. So the Ryan explains, Dibra Maschil itur, and he says, kolhani, all these extra words of achar, kolhani, achar, mutarinim, the extra. The Einon Elalatif Eres Haloshon, they're just to beautify the language. The Havale Lemichtav, Sadu Libchem, Visavoru. Tiskor Shivas Yomim, Viseyosef. Kid Musharim, Noginim. Eloshenichtavu Latif Eres Haloshon, it beautifies the Loshon. And similarly, the word Sidkoscho, Kahari El, so the Ran explains, Havale Lemichtav, it could have just said Sidkoscho, Hari El. It didn't have to say Kehariel. And the Ran goes through a detailed explanation of why this was the case, why it beautifies the Lasha. In any event, these are all examples of Iter Sofrim. Then, certain things are read, but they're not spelled out. Kayin Velok Sivan. So it says, for example, Pras in the Pasuk Dibalechto, as the Ran explains in the Ibra Masu, Kayin Velok Sivan. He says, Bishmuel Hu, this is the Pasuk in Shmuel, where it says, Lahoshiv Yodo Binahar Pras. Pras Kri Velok Siv. It's read, but it's not actually written. And likewise, it says ish in the pasuk, the kasher yishal ish bedvar elokim. So the Ranik says, this is also in Shmuel, Shmuel Namihu, Gabi Achitofo, kasher yishal ish bedvar elokim, ish kri v'loksim. The word ish is pronounced, but it's not actually written. Similarly, with the word ba'im in the pasuk de nivnisa, and the word la in the pasuk de pleita, these two psukim are as follows. The Ran brings down ba'im Divinivnisa is the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu hu hinei yomim boim neum Hashem. The nivnisa ha'ir v'gomer boim kri v'loksiv. The word boim is only pronounced, but it's not actually written down. And likewise, law in the word plate, the Ran says the end of Yirmiyahu. It says in nevuas bavel, regards to nevuah bavel, yehi law lifleita law kri v'loksiv. It's also not found actually written, but we pronounce it. And furthermore, the Gemara gives us other examples. It says s. The word S in the pasuk de hugaid hugad, and the Ran tells us which pasuk this is. In the next Ran, he says in Rus, it's Vayan Boaz, Vayomer Law. The pasuk actually reads hugaid hugad li kol asher osis es chamoser acharim osi shech. And therefore, the word S is pronounced, however, it is not written. Rav gives us two more examples. It says, a lie in the Pasuk de Hagorin. So the Ram tells us what Pasuk this is. And he says, also in Rus, Barus Namihu, it says, Vatomer Eleh Es Kol Asher Tomri, a lie eseh. Vapasuk Shachrov, Vaterin Hagorin, Vatas Kol Asher Tzivsa Chamosa. And the word a lie is pronounced, but it's not written. And finally, the last one is the word Eli in the Pasuk de Hasorim, and the Ram tells us also in Rus, Vatomer, Sheish Hasorim Ele, Nosan Li, Kyomar Eli. So Eli Kriv, Loksiv, there too. So these are examples of words that are pronounced but aren't written. And we have the vice versa. Uksiv on there, those words that are written, Lokarin, they're not read. The word Na in the Pasuk de Yislach. So what is this? So the Ram tells us, this is in Mawachim. It says Bishtachavosi Deis Rimon Yislach No Hashem Liavdecha. So the word No is written Sivno. However, we don't read it below Kri. And likewise, and we turn to Lamechesam and Aleph Zos in the Pasuk Deha Mitzvah. And the Ran tells us that this is Beseder Voeschanan Parshas Voeschanan Kach Motzasi Kosev Lo Nimtza Besor Shlano. He says, however, this is not found in our Girsa of the Chumash that we have. And the Hagos Vitziyunim in Os Tes brings down that the correct girsa over here should be, this is a Tos Sofrim, and Vitzorach Lamar, the S in the word Daha Mitzvah. And this is the Tosos elsewhere the Rashash brings down. It's also in the Ksiv Yad of the Ran, and he brings other places as well that this is the correct girsa. A couple more the word says, and that will conclude today's share. The Pasuk has the word Yadrech written down in the Pasuk de Hadorech. This is at the end of Yirmiyahu, the Ran tells us. And the whole Pasuk is correctly read, El Yidroch Hadorech Kashto, the El Bachureho Chachrimu Kol Tzva'o. And the word Yidroch is written twice, and the Ran tells us, Yidroch Sheni Ksiv Velokri. It's written, but it's not pronounced. Then we continue quoting the Pasuk Chomesh in the Pasuk Diba'as Negev. The Ran tells us this is the end of Yecheskel. And the Pasuk is, Ve'ele midoseho, Pa'as Sephon Chomesh Meyos V'arba'as Alofim Ufas Negev Chomesh. And then it has the word Chomesh again, Meyos V'arba'as Alofim Ufas Kodim, Chomesh Meyos V'arba'as Alofim, Fas Yoma, Chomesh Meyos V'arba'as Alofim. And the Ran tells us that Chamesh, Chamesh, Meos, V'abim, Alefim, the word Chamesh is written twice, Chamesheni, Ksiv, Lokri, it's not pronounced. And the last one that we have is Im, in the word Im, in the Pasuk, the Ki Goel. And what Pasuk is that? So the Ran tells us, this is also from Rus, and he says, V'ata, Ki Omnom, Ki Im Goel. And the word Im is written over there, but it's not pronounced. All of these, the Gemara says, Halein, Ksivon, they're written, Lokarian, but we don't read them. And with this, we conclude today's share.